December the 15th, 2020, and today's daily Bible readings come to us from Psalm 125, 2 Kings 2, 9 through 22, and then Acts 3, 17 through chapter 4, verse 4. And I'm going to talk about pressing charges. I'm going to talk about what's going on in Acts here, and specifically what we see here in verse 2, chapter 4, verse 2, where it says that the leaders in Jerusalem, they came and arrested the disciples. And, you know, they arrested them because they were doing stuff like sleeping out on the sidewalks, they were vandalizing property, they were, you know, they were like, they were selling pyramid schemes, things like that. No, that's not why they arrested them. They arrested them because they were talking about the resurrection of Jesus. You remember when talking about the resurrection of Jesus can get you arrested? Good times. It's interesting. It's nothing we really consider much today, the resurrection. We mostly seem to think about it at Easter time, you know, kind of in between coffee and donuts, in the narthex, and then, you know, photographs out on the lawn. You know, that's when we think about the resurrection, we talk about it. The resurrection seems to have lost its revolutionary power, right? This revolutionary power it has for the church. At least for those of us in kind of the nice, acceptable church, nice, acceptable places. But that wasn't the case for the disciples. It was an earth-shaking, earth-shattering, life-changing, world-changing event. And they told everybody about it. And so here we get that, you know, as this text says, I think this is New Revised Standard Version, verse 2 starts with, much annoyed, right? The priests, the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees came to them much annoyed because they were teaching the people and proclaiming that in Jesus there is the resurrection of the dead. This was a problem for them. They were much annoyed about it, not because they, you know, had like, well, you're not interpreting this right, or, you know, you're using the wrong... No, they were much annoyed about it because it really challenged the root of their power. N.T. Wright puts it this way. He says, the official hierarchy, mostly Sadducees, were doubly horrified. Resurrection had always been a novel, revolutionary doctrine, and this new movement proved their worst fears about it to be true. They were angry that the disciples were announcing in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. It caused real problems for them because let's talk about this. Why do you need resurrection? Because he died, right? Why was it important that Jesus was resurrected? Because he died. And it wasn't that, you know, he just got sick and died, or no, he had been put to death because, you know, by the power brokers of his day, right? These very people who are much annoyed, the people that they utilized, you know, like the Roman Empire, because the Roman Empire doesn't like its power challenged, right? So they used death as a tool of power, right? But here you have the disciples who are taking resurrection as an identity, right? They have no problem with saying that their Messiah, who they follow, had been put to death because they followed up with, and God resurrected him. So, you know, power tends to broker in death in order to maintain its power. And that's how it usually works out when push comes to shove. Death is kind of their fallback, their last, you know, like their last ditch effort, right, to maintain power. But what if death is defeated? Death is kind of like, well, let's put it this way. In Jewish thinking, according, once again, to Tom Wright, if you want to look it up, you can look up his book, The Resurrection, Resurrection and the People of God, right? The Jewish people traditionally looked at death as the enemy, right? Death is the enemy of creation. He has this quote. He says, death, the unmaking of the Creator's image, of the Creator's image-bearing creatures, was not seen as a good thing, but as an enemy to be defeated. It was the ultimate weapon of destruction. Anti-creation, anti-human, anti-God. And so, here you have the power, right? They use death as a tool. They use it as a weapon, and really what they're doing is they're not just attacking the people who they want to maintain power over, but they're also attacking God and doing that. It was the way they it was thought about. So, and now here they are, they have this one kind of, you know, tool that they can use, but their worst fears have come to pass. You know, like, these people no longer fear their death weapon, and they no longer fear them. And what's worse, other people are listening to them, and it was the beginning of this kind of revolution that they feared. But maybe for the church, this is kind of a revolution that we've lost sight of. And I know this is kind of hard to talk about here at Christmas time when, you know, we're looking forward to, you know, the nice cuddly little, you know, manger nativity scenes where we're putting the little tiny baby Jesus in the manger. But this is where the arc of his life is heading. We've lost, I think, in our comfort, this kind of revolutionary flavor of this belief in the resurrection of the dead. But I would have to say this, there are others of our brothers and sisters in the faith that still put a lot of faith in this message of the resurrection that the disciples are proclaiming here in Acts. And they do so because it's all they have. They're kind of not like us. This is what they have. We have kind of replaced it with a lot of other comfortable things. And I would still add that tyrants still fear it, for it kind of lays bare their impotence. Death weapon no longer works. That's the DBR for today. Go out, have a good day, and we'll be back tomorrow. See you later.